Hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor with the WSAS and email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Email Marketing Experiment. Today, we have business strategist, launch expert, and creative director, Yair Hadi. And let me share a fun fact with you. But before I do that, Yair, welcome to the show. It's so amazing to have you here today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad that we get to finally do this.
I know. So one of my earliest memories of Yair was her on an IG Live session with Eva Alodia. Now, yeah, I don't know if you're going to remember this. Eva was answering creatorials back then, and I was watching, you know, her do a breakdown of your business process and positioning on that IG Live. Do you remember it, maybe?
Yes, I do.
Yes. And that was one of the most interesting things that I saw. I still remember some of those questions vaguely. And then looking at all the so many things you've done in business, marketing, launching, and, you know, all those things. I'm just wondering, you said you missed your calling of being a stand-up comedian. Why?
So I think because of the way that I've positioned myself on social media, I come across very serious. There's another side of me that most people don't know about. People who are close to me will tell you that I'm funny. I can tell jokes on top of my head. So every time somebody says what something you've missed, I say being a stand-up comedian.
Okay. We'll see where that's going. Now, I'm just wondering, what role does email marketing play in your business today?
Oh, I'll say a big role, which is funny because I wasn't an email marketing person. I'll say in the beginning, I'm all about content, which I think you will know. Yeah, it was 1 year in that I said, you know what? Let me get into this email marketing because there's something about me. If I want to start something, I just want to be consistent with it. It took me a while to get into it. But when I did, I'm like, you know what? Email marketing is something that I was missing. So it plays a huge role.
Okay. And definitely consistent you have been, because since last year, I have received emails consistently in my inbox up to this year. Because I was going through my inbox and I'm like, strategies to try in 2025. And I looked at it and I'm like, oh yeah, this is one of the strategies I said I'll try. And I'm already planning towards it because yeah, I said so. So if you don't know, you need to be on her email list. And then if you're looking for how to launch anything, before we go into our conversation, I need to put this out there. If you're looking for how to launch anything from bags to crochet to a fast food, whatever it is, Yai has amazing content on her page that can show you how to launch anything. Then she has a whole box and bag, what have you, of strategies, files. But we'll talk about that later, right? Because right now, we want to watch how she launched one of her latest releases. I think that for almost every release that you have done since last year, I have purchased almost all of them. From when you did the masterclass and then you went on to do the community, or I think the community care first, I can't remember which, but from the masterclass, the community to the systems, I remember purchasing the systems. I think I had like the bundle of three. Then I still got the first launch. I think I even have like your launch roadmap, actually. Yeah, I think I have a lot of Yair's products.
And then the content ideas too.
Yes. And then finally, this last one, the big files, right? I was going through the folder and I'm like, this is really a big file because this is a lot of strategies to be able to try out and all of that. But we have seen you launch this from, I think, ending of last year, low-key, to going full into it from this year. And so I want us to look into not just how you were able to launch this, but also how email marketing came into the picture for you, right? So let me first start by, asking, how did you even come up with the idea for the big file?
Okay, so about the big file of launch marketing strategies. I've been talking about launching for a very long time, like you've said. And the first product that I did for launching was called the Lucrative Launch Roadmap. It's like a guide, and it was more focused on launch content. You've said you bought it. It's more focused on the different types of content you should create when you're about to launch. So I think I launched that in 2022. Yes, early 2022. So when we got to 2024, I was like, you know what? After 2 years, I know so many things. I've worked with so many people, helped so many people launch in different industries. Feel like just talking about launch content is too small. This needs to be updated. So that was the original idea. But then I thought, no, it's not an update. This has to be a brand new product. Is something we'll discuss on how I was able to differentiate two of them, because most people thought, what's the difference? The other one was about content, but this one was going to be about the whole thing, launch clarity, everything you need to do before you even launch, and then the strategy, the overall strategy before even content come. That's how the idea came in. There was a need for upgrade, and I have known so much, experienced so much, and produced so much results. I needed to share that.
I love it. And thank you so much for sharing it with us, because I won't say more. I'll leave it for people to find out, but I will be implementing. And I mean, I'm implementing from even the emails that AI sends to us. There's even something I noted about your emails, but I'll get to that as we go into it. So for this offer that you were launching, what was the runway you gave for this offer in terms of like timelines? How long were you going to launch it for?
Okay, so it was a bit different. Take it back to last year. So I launched it, soft launched last year, December. But before that, I went on a 3-week break on social media just to plan for this launch and also plan for my, content strategy and my Instagram and everything all together. And for this one, funnily enough, I said to myself, I'm not going to do the things that I used to do before, which is scarcity, say for this short period of time, you can get it for this price or all of that. I want this product to be evergreen. So I didn't give myself a timeline to launch it per se, because if you can tell, I'm still selling it. Even this week, I have, creative content around it. And then I'll start incorporating it into everything. Yeah.
So just for context, can you explain to our listeners what you mean when you say soft launch and hard selling?
Okay, perfect. Soft launch and hard selling. There's the big difference is, I don't know if the listeners see this on the internet. Usually when somebody is in a relationship, I'll give that example, and they don't want people to know who they're dating. They will, take pictures with their hand or the food they're eating or something, and they'll call it a soft launch because you're telling people that I have a boyfriend. I'm not going to tell you who it is or show their face or anything. So that's what you will call a soft launch. You will let people know that I have a product coming, but I'm not going to give you the full details of it. Now, a hard sell will be when you go all in. You are like, I have this. This is the name. This is this. Like, you should buy it. It's so important and all of that. So that's just a simplified way of explaining that.
Okay, thank you so much. Definitely very, very simplified, because I'm sure everybody can relate on some level or the other. So in the, doing the hard sell rather for that 1 month, what were some of the things you hope to achieve? And then in launching this overall, what were some of the goals that you set out?
Okay. So in terms of the hard launch, like I've said, I had the creative launch roadmap originally. So my main goal was reeducating of reintroducing. So I wanted to use the 1 month to let people know that this is a far different product from the other one. And also, why would you need this? If you go on to my page is sort of like a mini university. That's what I would like to call it. Because I'm always sharing strategies and tips and different things around launching. So why would somebody want to buy this product if they can go to my page and find free stuff? Like you have said earlier on my emails or on my page, and use that. So that was the goal, to show people that you need this. Why is it different? Why is it more valuable? That was the thing, awareness first. And then for the go overall, obviously is to sell much more of it. Get in the hands of the people that I feel like it will help as well.
Okay, that's very important right there. Now, I'm just wondering, I know that you use email marketing as part of your launch, right? How many emails are we looking at in total?
Okay, perfect. So I sent 17 emails between December 30th to February 3rd. So I'll say that was part of the hard launch phase. Those were the 17 emails that I sent.
All right, so 17 emails. So were we looking at like maybe 3 weekly or thereabouts? Was there a particular frequency that you gave to the emails?
Yes. So the first 10, I'll say it was twice a day. Let me just check the dates in here. So there were ones where it was twice a day, and then it just continued to be once a day. So, okay, I'll say it was once a day, more of it, because 30th, first, the second, the third. Yeah. I did send a lot of emails in a short while, now that I'm looking at the figures.
Okay. I'm wondering, right? Because for some people, a lot of emails is like one email a day. But with the way you were spacing it, I'm not sure if we should still classify it as a lot of emails. But then again, it could have been like a lot of emails for your audience. But if there's one thing I know is that your emails are always super valuable, right?
Yes.
So even if it was a lot of emails, I didn't complain.
Thank you.
So I feel like they wouldn't have complained. But aside emails, were there other channels that you were using?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'll say my main channel is Instagram. That's where most of my audience is. That's where I make the most sales. So that was the primary channel I was using. Another channel I was using was a WhatsApp community, which is part of my sales funnel that I use, which is I send out free content. Then I ask people to join my WhatsApp community. And it's inside that community where I connect with my audience a bit more. I'm more relaxed in that community. It's more calm. I answer questions on their struggles, their challenges, or sometimes just overall chit chat. So that was another channel I was using as well for the launch of this. And I'm still using it. So like I've said, I'm still continuing to sell. But yeah.
All right. So that's great. Now, you've talked about the WhatsApp community, you have your Instagram, which is your main channel, then you have your email list, which you have been so consistent and dedicated with. So these are three different channels. So how did you make this into one cohesive ecosystem that, you know, was just working for you?
So different things are required on these different channels. Let's start with the email marketing. And one of the reasons why I even love email marketing is I love to write. I really do. I'll say every single thing of me starts, which is for most people, but every single thing starts with writing. The content that I'm going to create, the emails I'm going to write, you know, the sales page, everything starts with writing. And we know that, you know, you and I both are on Instagram. We know now that even right now with attention spans and everything, it's hard to capture everything that you want to say on a piece of content because you're feeling like, oh, I don't want to talk too much, or I don't want to write too much. People are going to drop off, or they're not going to read everything. So in terms of each of these channels, email is where I can go and be free and write as much long as I want. So I knew that was the place that I was going to use to break every single thing down so everyone's clear about what the offer is and all of that. And in terms of Instagram, Instagram is where I do more of creative content. So I focus it more on the audience themselves. Like, what are the struggles they're going through in terms of launching? What do they need from me? So I call it sort of like a teaser. I have a series that does really well for me that I started in 2022 called If I Were to Launch. And with this series, what I do is I'll take different niches, different industries. And I say, if I were to launch, for example, a bag brand, this is what I'll do. If I were to launch a crochet brand, if I were to launch wigs. So in that way, I'm giving them something. Most people can use the free strategies for that and go launch, but they will need much more than that. So for there, I share more educational stuff and then they come back to me to get, you know, the big file of launch strategies, or most times they come to work with me one-to-one. Now, when it comes to the WhatsApp, I've had previous groups. I've had a Telegram group before. I've had a membership with Victor Okafor on Instagram. And I've had different platforms before. And some of them did not work. I'll say most of them did not work. And I've learned some lessons from that. So for the WhatsApp, I made sure this time it's very relaxed. So I didn't put too much strategy and thought into it until recently when one of the community members said, oh, I want to volunteer, you know, to put activities in the WhatsApp group. And even with that, I said, let's make it not too much. So let's make it fortnightly. So for the WhatsApp, it's more relaxed. I do Q&A in there. You know, it's not even frequent, but mostly I'll do a live inside there. We just talk on audio and then we drop it, or, you know, people ask questions and I answer inside the community. So each one of them have different strategies based on the audience and the people who are in there and the platform as well.
That's so amazing, really, how you have like the role that each of these platforms are playing for you. Now, let's go a bit down into the emails that you sent for this particular campaign. And can you walk us through the process from strategy to execution in terms of when you were planning the email, what did you have in mind? And then how did you carry it out to be able to achieve your goal?
Okay, perfect. So in terms of the emails, so like I've said earlier on, I wanted it to be sort of like a reintroduction. I took 3 weeks break in December time, and I also took a break from the emails. So when I came back, I was like, let me do a reintroduction, not a reintroduction to me myself, because people knew who I am in my email list and everything, but a reintroduction so that when I introduced the big file of launch strategies, it was easier for me. So I was going to do 30-day emails back to back, so that there will be a lot of education in there and selling. And then I will now slowly integrate, you know, the file inside the other emails that I send. So one of my main things, which is on every platform that I use, is I must always educate and deliver value in no matter what. Even if I'm going to sell, I'll still do that. So back to the emails, the first email that I sent was, allow me to reintroduce myself. And essentially, all I was doing in that email was just letting people know, hey, I've worked with a lot of people. I've delivered a lot of results when it comes to launching. And because I've been so busy, I haven't sat down to even compile that number. So when I took the 3 weeks break, I sat down actually and said, let me go at my back of house and look at the amount of people I've helped, how much revenue I've brought in terms of launching for other people, you know, how many things I've done, like how much numbers have that if I were to launch series brought in. So I compiled all of that. Another thing that I did also was go and reach out to, you know, my peers, industry experts, people I've worked with and said, hey, if I've worked with you for your launch and all of that, can you provide like an endorsement, you know, something to say what I've done for you or how I've helped you achieve something? So I also did that. So those were the things that I compiled, the figures and people I've worked with and the results and everything. So my emails were focused mostly on that.
That's pretty neat. The fact that you just went, you know, double down on social proof and use that in your results. So were you telling stories of these people that you had worked in, or how were you using these endorsements in the emails that you were sending?
Okay, so it was a bit hard for the emails. I'll say for social media, because for social media, what I did was they made videos. Most of them made videos for me, you know, to say, you know, my name is so-so-so person. I endorse the big file of launch strategies. So, but when it came to the emails, what I did was I told the story in writing. So there was an email that I sent, and I think I said on the title, how we exceeded our launch goal with just one post. And this was a story about somebody that I worked with who, you know, we worked on her launch for something that was totally new to her. But I knew, like, if seeing the content that she puts out there and how her audience react, I said to her that this is the product that will make you money and impact, because this is what people are looking for from you. I don't think you know that, but this is exactly what people are looking for from you. And we tested it, did everything, designed the offer, you know, did the name, did the page, did every single thing. And as soon as she posted one single post, which was a flyer, we exceeded like the launch goal that she had for that launch. So for things like that, I'll just tell the story and then I'll put like social proof, you know, reviews in text messages and all of that. So I'll just put a screenshot and put it in there. Because one thing I've noticed with emails, I've tried this before, is when I try to put links to videos or try to put too many things in there in terms of pictures and videos, I feel like it goes to the junk folder. I don't know if you've experienced that too, but yeah.
Yeah, sometimes when you put like a lot of things there, for some people, you might get to the junk folder. Now, you did something that I'm not sure I've seen in any launch before. You were doing a $100 grant during your launch period. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how many of these that you had, but it definitely made it fun and interesting. And I'm just curious, like, how did you even, you know, come to the point where you were like, okay, let's do a grant? I mean, how?
Okay, so I had a show last year. It was called The Show for Online Businesses. And the idea for that show was to make it fun. You know, people will join the show. It was sort of like a talk show, but for online businesses. And I'll ask questions, we'll play games. The main thing that people will win will be a grant that they can use for their launches. Because I've come to realize that sometimes people have the greatest ideas. They even have a great product, but it's always, almost always the marketing that's always the problem. And it's not even like these people are not like geniuses, or it's just sometimes it's just financial reasons, because we know that marketing takes a lot of money. Yes, there's creativity in it, but sometimes there are some things that you want to achieve. It's only money that will make you achieve that. So I was like, how can I play, you know, how can I give back to my community and also play in that? So I thought, okay, let's do the show. And then one of the things will be the launch grants. Now, when I went off for my break, the show stopped and everything as well. But when I was doing my, you know, launch strategy for the big file of launch marketing, I was like, okay, you know what? What's one way I can infuse scarcity in here. Remember, I said I didn't want to do scarcity in a sense of, oh, the price is $20 right now, for example. But if you don't buy now, in 30 days, it will increase to $25. I didn't want to do that. I felt like it's been done so much that people have gotten desensitized on it. So I thought, how can I make people buy this more and also give back? So I did the launch bonus, $100, but it was going to be by order number. So I had three order numbers that I kept that only I and my team knew. And I said, if anybody, the first one was actually order number one, which was very funny. And you know, Sophia, I was thinking to myself, you know, you could have won the $100 grant. Because now that I think of it, before our initial conversation for this podcast, and I said, I'm working on this offer and I sent you the link. So I think you were among the first people I sent the link before it became public. So yeah, I just remember that. So I thought to add that. We had three numbers in there, and the first number was order number one. And then we had like two order numbers. So nobody knew or anything. You would just order. If your order number falls in there, then you get the grant automatically where I'll email you. So that was how it is. I wanted to make it fun. And also at the same time, you know, give back and also include some scarcity in it.
I don't know if I should be crying or, you know, it would have just been fun to win, you know, like just to say like, oh, I was a winner, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. But I really love the initiative you had behind it. And so now we are looking at how you have, you know, gone through all of this. And one of the things I'm curious about is the fact that I know you added in certain things so that you didn't have to do the whole scarcity urgency. But a lot of times, or sometimes when we push like one particular offer over and over again, especially like with our email list, we can see fatigue and desensitization in the sense that maybe the link clicks would drop or people now know, like they are used to the offer. So it's just a matter of if I haven't bought it, maybe I'm waiting for certain things before I buy it, or I'm just waiting for more proof. But now it's not new, it's not novel, they know what it is. So in pushing the offer, so have you noticed that you saw any such thing in the emails you sent? Maybe there was a drop in the click rates or any of those type of things?
Yes, I did, and I was ready for it. I knew with the emails that I sent, it was going to be a lot. I was sending emails more than I've ever sent it in that frequency. So on a normal week, I'll send three emails. I think right now I've reduced it to two. So I'll send three emails a week. But during that launch, I'm looking at it right here. I've sent an email on December 30th, January 1st, January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 10th, 13th, 15th, 17th, 22nd. So I knew, and funnily enough, actually, the open rate didn't drop, but I think the click-through rate and the replies. So one thing that I enjoy about my emails is it's a two-way street. Most of the times I'll tell people to reply, and sometimes I don't even tell people to reply, but they will reply. So I get a lot of replies to my emails and I reply right back and we will have a conversation. But because I was selling so much, I realized that people were not replying back, you know, and all of that. So I knew I was going to say, I've been selling a bit too much. I had an email crafted for that. And I sent that email on January 24th, just towards the end of, you know, the hard launch period. So I said, I've been selling a bit too much. And people opened that email. And in there, I said, I know I've been selling a bit too much. You know, this is not what you guys normally see from me, but this is why. And also I told them, here's a lesson for you to learn, because I always like to take it back to people and not make it about me. So when I sent that email saying I've been selling a bit too much, to me, that was my clean slate. That was me letting you know that I've been selling a bit too much. Now continue to open my emails, because now the sales has gone down. Just being, you know, open and honest with my audience. So after I send that email, now my emails turn to be educational. But what I would do instead, because like you've said, the offer is not novel anymore. So what I did instead is inside my WhatsApp group, I have a form that I let people fill in to let me know what their struggles are when it comes to launching and content. But because we are focused on launching, I'll just say launching. And in there, I'll look at the questions they will ask me. So now when I send the emails, it's like me answering the question directly, or it's like me using that question to frame, you know, whatever it is that I want to teach so that other people will be able to see it. And funnily enough, it still works. They know that I'm going to talk about the same offer, but in a way, I'm teaching them something that's novel to them right now. Like it's a problem that they have right now. And I'm saying the solution is here, because most times people don't think that the solution is in that product. And I'll tell them, here's the solution to that product. And they will go and buy the product. Another thing that I've realized mostly is that I think for me, most people want to work with me one-to-one when it comes to launching. So they're like, yeah, I know, like you've got the product, but it's like I'm saving up so that I can, you know, work with you one-to-one so you can help me with this instead of me just buying the product and doing it for myself. So when that happens and they're saving and I send the emails and it touches something that, you know, they can relate with or they're struggling with, they'll still buy. They're like, okay, let me start with the product now. And then from there, I can see how we can work together. Well, you are right about the novelty going off and them being sort of desensitized, but I plan for that.
All right, so that's great. Now let's look into results in terms of like your engagement and your goals. Now, one of the things I know is that sometimes tracking can be pretty hard, or tracking may not go the way you want it to go. But do you have a way to track in terms of if people are taking action or not, or what metrics do you look at in your emails?
So when it's to the emails, for me, I feel like I know my emails are doing well. It's funny because people will think, oh, your emails are doing well. It's only when people click the link and go and buy. For me, I feel like I know my emails are doing well when people reply. When people reply my emails, like I've said, I know they're doing well. When I send an email for a whole week, like when I send, you know, 2-3 emails a week and nobody replies, I feel like, then these emails this week haven't hit as I thought they will. So that's one. Number two is the open rate, of course. So I look at the open rate all the time. Just before our, you know, recording today, I sent an email today in the morning, I think 7:30 my time. And just today, I went in and looked at the open rate and see, okay, let me see. I know it's Saturday. I know people are busy, but I want to see how many people will stop, you know, and open my emails, even though it's going to be a busy day. So replies and open rate. Yeah.
Okay. I really like the fact that you put replies into it, because you said earlier that for you, email marketing is a two-way street. And it's something that some people don't even, you know, consider, right? Because when you do that, you build a tight-knit community as well with emails. Now, you send these 17-plus emails, and I'm wondering, were there emails you saw perform better than the others in terms of maybe the opens or the clicks or the replies, like you have said? And what exactly did you do in those emails that you think made them, you know, perform better?
Yes, absolutely. Especially the one that you touched on earlier. So the grant. So I remember the email I sent and said, get $100 launch grant. That email did well. And I think because, you know, the title said, get $100 launch grant. So they opened that and I explained, okay, if you buy and there's a certain order number, you will get this $100 launch grant. I'll say that email did well. And the other email that did well also, even though it was a sales email, but I think it was the title. So I just titled it, one of the most incredible things about this. Now, I was going to talk about the big file of launch strategies, but the title just said, one of the most incredible things about this. I think they opened it because of, you know, the title as well, because it was, you know, curiosity. So that did well. And then I don't know. Before, I never used to like this. Before I even get to that, I'll say another email that did well. So one of the things that I did, because like you've said, I have the big file That's like my product suite. I call them that. So I have the big file of content ideas. I have the big class of innovative strategies, And then I have the big file of launch strategies. Now, one of the things that I was getting were people saying, I don't know which one to buy. I don't know which one to buy. Like, I'm trying to think, which one should I get first? Oh, yeah, can I get it as part of a bundle? I knew I was going to do a bundle later on, but I thought it would be later on in the year, mid-year. I was going to sell it, you know, separately, and then I'll do the bundle. But when people kept asking during the launch phase if they can do that, I said, okay, I'm going to create a bundle. It's now time for me to put them in a bundle and people can choose the ones that they need because it felt like they couldn't, some people couldn't choose. Now, one of the emails that did well was when I was creating the bundle, I sent an email saying, create this product bundle with me. That did well. It did really well because I think most people were not expecting me to do the bundle, or because I said, create the product bundle with me. It felt new in the midst of me selling. It felt new. So that was open and people bought the bundle on that. So that did well. And then the email title that I say I don't like because I feel like most people do it is, I said, struggling with your launch, start here. I feel like I see a lot of titles that always say, struggling with this, this is for you. But I tried it as well and it worked because it seems like when you put struggling, people resonate with that because they're struggling with something. So that also did well. And then one that's outside of these 30 days was an email I sent, I believe it was February, or is it this March, where I said, I think it was this March. Maybe it was February, end of February, where I said, four things that your launch needs to convert, something like that. That email did well. And I was sending emails to the same people, but I don't know what it was with that one. Because I put like the four different ingredients that your launch need. I sent the email and then I was going on with my day. I opened my own emails and I saw the sales coming in. I was like, what is making these sales come in? Because I was thinking it was the content that I posted on that day. So I went back to my Instagram and I said, but what did I post? So I saw what I posted. I was like, no, it can't be this post. So I opened, you know, the analytics for that post to see how many people clicked on my link. So it wasn't. Then I said, oh, it's the email. So that email also did well too.
You know, I'm even just looking at the email now, as she said, because first of all, the title alone is already making me go back into it. As she just said the title, I'm like, four things. Okay, conversion. That is definitely something that a lot of people struggle with in terms of driving conversion. So maybe you're even able to drive conversion. Maybe you're at a 2%. You want to get a 10%. You're at a 10%, you want to, you know, keep moving up, or you're not even doing anything. So if so, anything, and if someone is telling you that these are things you need for your launch to convert, definitely. And then it now goes into say, so I see that what you did here, you gave us like different strategies, and the call to action is just pretty simple, right? It goes into saying, remember, a great launch isn't all about selling. And then when you combine these four elements, you're not just launching a product, you're creating a movement people want to be a part of. They're ready to make your next launch unforgettable. In my own opinion, I think it's the fact that exactly what you wrote here is what we've seen you do, right? So you have done something that is unforgettable. So we remember things that you have done. And so just putting that here is enough for us to, you know, to trigger the response of, okay, yes, this is not just something she's saying, it's something I've seen her do. So let me get it if I've not already gotten it. Now, as I just opened this email, I just realized something. A lot of times, you use a red button for your call to action. Is there some psychology behind that?
Yes. So we know that red means urgency. Do that. So my brand color, you know, it's pink. And I use black and white and pink most of the time. And I notice if I used to use the pink button, but then it's like, oh, it's cute. Cause pink is associated with cuteness. Oh, I've sent this email and at the end, I put a pink button and I don't know. It just felt like it was blending in too much. And people were so used to seeing that from my page and from everything. It felt like it didn't move anything. But then I put the red. And it's totally out of, you know, my branding and everything. So I feel like it makes people click more or pay attention that, okay, you've done this, but here's what I need you. You've read everything. I need you to do this. And this is standing out right there. Yeah. So that's why I changed it to red.
Now we have seen all these amazing things and you guys have heard about the big launch files. If there's one thing I need you to do is to get yourself a copy of those files, because it is something that's going to help you on your journey, right? I'm saying it because I also have it. It's going to help you create unforgettable launches, and it's going to definitely help you increase conversions. I don't need to say more about it. You can go head over straight on to yaihadi.com/big-launching, or you can go straight to her website, yaihadi.com. And you will find everything you need to know when it comes to launching both her free content, her paid content, her community, how to access her on Instagram and all of those things, whether you want to work with her one-on-one or otherwise. If there's anybody you need for your next launch or your current launch, Yai is the person for you. And as we begin to wind down on this conversation, let's look into how it is that we can begin to apply all these things. She has mentioned a lot of things that I feel are so key that we may not even have considered. Maybe for people who are starting out with their email marketing or have been doing email marketing for a while. So I have another question for you. Are there lessons you have learned from carrying out this launch for the big files of launch strategies that you think that, oh, maybe if I'm doing this again, I will double down on this, or I'm this as regards the email marketing side of things?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for mentioning the big file of launch strategies. It's definitely needed, not because I created, but because it's brought in some, you know, so many results and people are liking it. And yes, I haven't planned my next launch yet for this year. I haven't done so in terms of creating a product. I feel like right now my product suite is, you know, my product suite is, it's complete in a way, because it has the big file of content ideas, the big file of launch strategies, and the big class of innovative strategies. And if you know me, you know, those are the three things that I talk about, but I can never say never. So, but if I decide to launch something again and use email marketing, I'll say I have to double down on the social proof emails. You know, the one that I talked about when I said, oh, here's how we exceeded our launch goal one post. Those types of case studies, you know, real life case studies of things that I've worked on, I believe those emails are ones I'll double on. And the other one too that I said I did February or March that said, you know, four things that will make your launch convert, I'll also, you know, do more of those as well. So definitely I'll double down on those types of emails.
That's definitely something powerful right there, because social proof always has a way of just doing amazing things for your marketing. Now let's move forward. So you used to do this email. I haven't seen it in a while. What are you watching this weekend? I'd like to hear a bit about that.
Oh, yes. Oh, Sophia, you've been really reading my emails, you know?
Yes.
If you know me, you will know that I consume a lot of content. And totally, maybe a bit unrelated, when people ask me, how are you so consistent with creating content? You're always posting, you're always this. I'm like, because I love creating content. Yes, I've made a business out of it, but since I've been young, I loved watching movies. I loved reading books. I loved listening to music, like I still do. So I love watching movies. That's one thing. You know me, you will know that. So even in my content, you will see me incorporate movies in there, lessons from there. You know, I'll take clips of movies, put it in there, teach a lesson on that. So when I did What Are You Watching This Weekend, originally the idea was for me to share things I'm watching or ask people what they are watching, because I used to also do that on my Instagram stories. But I also have a YouTube channel where I create longer form content in there, where I do more case studies and everything. So another strategy was that I'll use that to push my YouTube channel, where I ask people, what are you watching? Then I'll insert some of my YouTube videos for them to watch. Now, the reason why I stopped doing that was because when I send those emails and I say, maybe I catch people on a busy time or they're doing something, they're like, oh, it's Yai's email, let me open it. They will click the link and then maybe 3 seconds, 5 seconds, or, you know, a minute in, they are distracted and they go off. Now, if you have a YouTube channel, you will know that's not good because it will show the algorithm that maybe you are trying to manipulate the system, which I'm not. It's just an email that I've sent. Maybe people are busy. They haven't had time to finish it, or they open it, they go and do something else and all of that. So when I noticed that if they open it, they were not, you know, finishing the videos and all of that. And also at the same time, people on my email list are mostly people from my Instagram page. They are used to short form content from me. Now, when you go to my YouTube, the videos are longer. So there are some people who are not into that. So they might be the wrong audience for it. So I felt like, okay, this is hurting my channel more than it's helping it. So I'm just going to stop it in the meantime. If I'm to bring it back, it would just be like a conversation. I wouldn't use it to push my channel, but it might be just, you know, movies I'm watching and ask people what they are also watching. So yeah.
That's definitely interesting. I don't really do YouTube, so I didn't know a lot about that. But it's so interesting that you could pick it and be able to, you know, re-strategize and all of that. Now, so there are a lot of things that I know that you do that I have seen. Okay, so I want to ask what you think about using discounts in your email marketing, because I know that there are times where, you know, you have done certain discounts and I just felt like they were very strategic. I'm like, this discount is not just a discount. There's something that Yai is trying to do. And I'm like, okay. So today is a good day to ask you that.
Depending on how you position yourself and your branding, discount can be good and it can be bad. And here's what I mean. If you are somebody who sells, you know, low ticket offers and you want to position yourself in a way where you get to as much people as you want, then discounts all the time are fine. Now, if you position yourself a certain way, there's something that discounts do to hurt you. And I'll give you an example of a fashion brand. There's a fashion brand, which I will not say the name, that does discounts all the time. They do it all the time in a way that they have now conditioned their buyers, including myself, to, if I wake up now and say, oh, I want to go buy this top example from them, it's like something will subconsciously tell me, just wait, they'll do a discount soon. So you will not need to buy it. They'll do a discount soon. Now, that's just one example, but it's one of the ways that it will desensitize your audience to never want to buy full price from you. But if that's your whole strategy as well, that's fine. Now, for me, when it comes to my email marketing, I try to do discounts once or twice a year. Once or twice a year, I'll try and run like a big discounted sale for a very short period of time, and I'll leave it at that. And on each email on one of them, I'll tell them, no, this is not, I like to say, this is not a marketing strategy. If I tell you to buy it now, because you may never see this discount again. So I ran a discount this year as well for the big file, and I didn't do emails on it. I believe I just did it inside my WhatsApp community, but I told them, you might want to enjoy this discount because I won't do it again. And I plan not to do it again. So I feel like discounts in your email can be good if you do it, you know, in a certain way. But too much of it, I feel like, can be bad for your brand. It signals something. When you see somebody do discount all the time, does it not signal something to you? What do you think when you see somebody do discount all the time?
Oh, if someone does a discount all the time, then I need to find out the things that at the times when the discounts are coming. So I just plan my sales around it or my purchases rather around it. So that's what it's doing now for me.
What about the perception this brand is doing discount? What do you think of it when you see that?
In terms of perception, right? If the brand is always doing discounts, right? In my head, it's like there will be a next time. But another thing would be, if the brand is always doing discounts and then they are now telling me that, oh, this is the last time you're going to pay a discount, or you're not going to pay a discount, then I now get another email some day later that says, oh, here's an extra, especially those discounts that now go, here's an extra percent. I'm like, what? You know, that's how they say. So it just drops the trust level. Not because they are not selling great products, but just because you said like this was it. So how do I trust you for something else? That kind of thing. And it happens subconsciously. So it just means that you stop rating them the way you used to rate them. And one day you just realize you didn't feel like when it started. But yeah. Now there's one thing you've mentioned, which is the fact that a lot of people on your Instagram are on your email list. So what's your number one tip for moving followers to from turning followers to subscribers?
So my number one tip will be, I think this is the one that most people do, which is create a lead magnet or give them something free in exchange to your email list. Now, I used to do that. I don't do it much end of last year and this year, because when you do that, people get the free stuff and they stop opening your emails. So now I just took it back to old school traditional way. I have my email list, email newsletter link in there, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. Join my email newsletter to read my emails. Not get this free product from me and then I'll now start bombarding you with emails when you've gotten what you want from me and you don't want to hear from me no more. You know, most people don't. So that's just how it is now. Before I'll say lead magnets, but for now I'll say just be. I think marketing will be easy. Marketing is easy if you're just honest with your audience. Like I've said earlier, when I was selling, I told them, I'm selling too much. This is why I have a new product I'm selling. So I've been selling this, this, and that. And also, you know, when I do something and I tell them, you might think this is a marketing strategy. It is not. It's going away and I will not do it again. You can also do the same thing with emails. Hi, I have an email newsletter. Join it here and I will send you emails. So I'll say, just be honest with them. And also tell them, how are the emails different from what they see on your Instagram? Because that's what most people want to know. I get more personal in my emails, or I break down more things in my emails, or on Instagram, I talk about this. On my emails, I talk about that. So that's what I'll say. Right now in 2025, where people's attention spans are down, trust is very low because, you know, people have joined email lists, they have done different things, and I myself have joined email list of someone who kept bombarding me or doing different things. And I'm like, okay, let me unsubscribe because this is not what I came here for. So trust is low. Just tell people, hey, this is my email list. Join if you will like it. It will even do you more good if people who actually want to read from you are the ones who are joining.
That's so fantastic. And now, Yai, what I want to ask you is, how can our audience, how can our listeners find you and connect with you?
So my main platform is Instagram. And if you just type Yai on Instagram, you'll find me. And the handle is at Process Toolbox. So P-R-O-C-E-S-S, Toolbox, T-O-O-L-B-O-X. Now, another way that you can find me where it has everything that you need from me is my website. So my website is yaihadi.com. Yai is Y-A-I, Hadi is H-A-T-T-Y. So yaihadi.com, and everything that you need from me will be on there.
Thank you so much. You want to just tell us any final things about the big launch files? I mean, we have been discussing and dissecting how we did the marketing around it. But for people who might be interested in it and want to hear just maybe one more thing to get them to go over and also get a copy for themselves, what would you like to say?
Okay. Before I get to that, one thing that I want to say is to you, Sophia, I just want to say thank you for inviting me. And I'm glad that you launched this podcast, because since I have known, I know you said you met me on Eva's Life. I wonder, because I can't remember the exact things. I know Eva was helping me structure my offers. And at that time, I was charging lower and she was saying, no, you need to charge more. I believe it was something like that. But I when I found you. So, and you've always talked about email marketing. I remember you had something like the briefcase. I remember you had other stuff. Like, so you have always been about email marketing. And I like that you have stuck with that because it shows that this is something not only you're passionate about, but you have experience in, and it's something that you want to do. Because I've been on this, you know, Instagram streets for a long time, and we have seen people, you know, pivot, rightfully so. You know, sometimes you can pivot and go do other stuff. But I've seen you stick, you know, do this for a very long time. So I'm very, very glad that you've launched this podcast. And like you've said in the beginning, I believe you have all of my products. I think you do. I believe you have all of my products. You have been a very great supporter of my brand. Every time I launch something, the email will come in. I'll see that you've bought something. You will just go in and buy. And I remember you also, you know, gave some, you know, sponsorships to some of my audience members when I was doing the B class of innovative strategies so that they can join for free. So I just want to say thank you for that. In terms of the big file of launch marketing strategies, it's for you if you're about to launch a business, any business, product, services, and you feel like, how do I want to stand out? What are some of the things that I can do to get more sales, but also to get people, you know, talking about my launch, bring hype, bring awareness. I'm all about being unique and being different. So those are the things that you will get in there. But if you already have a business and you're launching a new product or a new collection or something, you will also need it because you want your marketing to stand out. Social media now, everybody's almost doing the same. So if you want people to pay attention, then you have to find a way to stand out and make them talk about you. So that's what I'll say is what you will get in there. You'll get a launch clarity because I've realized most people just have an idea straight away. They're like, oh, let me go create a flyer and go and sell it. Nah, you need to be very clear about who you are going to sell it to, what's going to be in there, what's the outcome, what are they going to get? You know, like the things we've talked about here, what are the strategies that you're going to do instead of scarcity, or what are the things that you're going to do to make it fun? So you need that. I have a launch clarity workbook in there. I also have launch assets vault. So that means all of the things that you will need as part of your launch if you want to make it successful. A great launch can change not your business, not only your business, but your life as well. And then I have 12 different strategies. This is in video where I break each down for you and then tell you the different types of content that you need to create around that. So yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Now, let me just share with our listeners some key insights I have taken away. Now, from following Yai's emails for the longest time, one thing I can tell you that has stood out for me is that each email is always valuable. If you read every of her emails, you will have something to take away. Now, seeing how she carefully plans it in this conversation, she takes feedback from questions she's asked, from things that happened, she turns those things into emails. She goes ahead to test out things beyond just testing out a link and a button. We're even testing out like colors of buttons. So it tells you that there's a lot of things you can try to be able to ensure that you get your emails work. And the final thing I want you to take away is to be intentional about your email marketing. She decided to be consistent with it and to differentiate it with her from her other platforms, but still ensure that she makes them all work together in a system with each one having its own job description. And that's something I definitely want you to take away from today's conversation. Now, with that being said, don't forget to subscribe, listen on your favorite platform because we are launching on even more platforms beyond Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all of that. Don't forget to subscribe and listen on your favorite platform. Yeah, it has been amazing having you here today. And thank you so much for your kind words. I really, really appreciate. Thank you so much for doing this with me. Until next time, guys, this is Email Marketing Experiment. Don't forget to think it, test it, and share it. Bye.
Bye.